This is chapel for February 22nd, 1962. Dr. Scoggins is leading our worship.
Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Praise his holy name. Let us join in prayer. O holy God, our heavenly Father, grant that in the hour of this worship we may worship in spirit and in truth. We are weak and lowly and undone creatures, and we are certainly not able to unfathom all of the great mysteries of thy purpose and of thy grace. There are depths which we shall never plumb, and there are heights to which we shall never climb. And yet in all of thy ways and in all of thy thoughts, thou dost include us. So grant our Father that we may be still and know that thou art God, that we may be mindful of our own limitations and of thy limitlessness. May we, with the best which we have, understand thy greatness, thy majesty, thy might, thy power, thy awful truth. In the worship of this community, may there come honor and glory to thee, praise and adoration, worship. We pray for every member of our seminary family who has special need today. There are many among our group that are sick. We pray for them. That if in thy providence they may be healed and restored to vigor, that it may be so. There are those of our fellowship who are saddened and bereaved because of the loss of loved ones. Grant to give the comforting presence of thy Spirit to these. And as he works and witnesses in this community, may thy Spirit teach us the meaning even of death. We thank thee, our Father, for the task to which thou hast called us, study, hard work, the discipline of long hours, because we know that these are but the open doors to enlarged service and greater service. And so, our Father, even in the monotony of the day-to-day routine in the seminary, let us see something of the glory. Forgive us when we fail and fall down, and may we not be as men of old in the days of the prophets, who, though they knew themselves to have fallen, would not rise up, and though they knew themselves to be on wrong roads, would not come back to a right road. Help us to return unto thee, and in the real meaning of repentance, to come all the way back to God, and then from the home of our souls to get new compass readings, new life directions, and to go again in thy name before the world. Guide us today, in this very minute, and in all the days that lie before us, for Jesus' sake. Amen. You have been handed, or you will be handed, a note entitled, "Be Still and Know." I'm reading this note from the Student Coordinating Council. From the requests of the students and faculty, there have been stated a want and a need for a place and a time each day that we in the seminary family may gather together in a time of meditation and prayer. Each day at noon and at 4 in the afternoon, the small chapel in the religion building will be reserved for a short meditational period. The length of this period will vary according to the individual. You may enter and depart as you wish. There will be no speaker or planned program of any length. However, at different times there may be quiet music, a reading of scripture, or a focus on a particular theme or other. It is so easy for us in our busy schedule of family, finances, field work to neglect our own spiritual growth. Come join your fellow Christians in a time of prayer and meditation at least once a day. And through prayer experience, we come to feel the presence of the living God and a kinship with all the world. Signed, Student Coordinating Council. I also call your attention to the fact that 1 week from tomorrow, there will arrive on our campus, or will begin to arrive on our campus, some 300 or more visitors from colleges throughout the southeastern United States for our annual missions conference. It has been my good fortune to serve this year as advisor to the Spiritual Preparations Committee of this missions weekend. We would like to enlist your help in the days that lie between now and next Friday afternoon to pray with us and for us. Not only that we may be prepared in our own hearts for this experience, but that all the challenges that will come to us in this weekend may be met by us honorably. We would like to pray for the program personalities, those who will come to be responsible for the program, also for these young people as they travel, and of course for our local setting here, for ourselves, that facilities may be available, and that those who have opportunity to be of help in this connection may find it possible so to do. It has been my good fortune for some years now, through the generosity of a young rabbi friend of mine, to receive the National Jewish Post and Opinion newspaper. I find many very fascinating and interesting things in this newspaper. Very often, comments and conclusions and sometimes even sermonizing by the rabbis and sometimes about the rabbis. And this morning, I should like to direct your attention very briefly to a clipping I've taken from this newspaper this week. It has to do with the hazards of the pulpit for the rabbis. It so happens that it grew out of a visit made by Dr. Abraham Feinberg of one of the temples of Toronto, Canada, in New York last week. He went to New York to speak at a memorial service in Central Synagogue for Rabbi Jonah B. Wise. And in the course of this memorial address, had some very telling and I think some very worthwhile things to say about the rabbinate and thus the ministry as a whole, I think. And I quote now from the clipping, "Rabbi Jonah Wise was an individualist who followed his own inner light in an age of increasing decadence and kept faith with himself while the world around him became an ant-heap of robotism. He refused to be shaped into a type or to lose his personality in the official paraphernalia of organized religion. Above all, he never yielded to the occupational hazards of the professional clergyman. Throughout a long, constructive, and highly distinguished career as one of America's leading rabbis, Jonah Wise remained what he was, colorful, forthright, sharply etched, different. The hazards which he avoided are 7 occupational hazards of the pulpit. All clergymen do not fall prey to all of them. Many surrender to all of them. Many surrender to some of them. A percentage is immune to the grosser symptoms. But Jonah Wise was mastered by none whatever. These are the hazards. Pomposity. Insecure clerics, however sincere and dedicated, unconsciously wrap themselves in a protective cloak of dignity. This often is inflated into pomposity. Sentimentality. The public posture of a clergyman is so frequently involved with the emotions that he habitually wears his heart on his sleeve and overstates the common cliches of universal human experience. Timidity. The shackles of the conventional and respectable can lead to perpetual enslavement by conformity. Insularity. The pastor's need to look after his own sheep may confine him to a narrow sheep field and to a narrow view of life. Sycophancy. To get things done, the pulpit may solicit the support of financial or social power with flattering appeals to vanity and snobbishness. Egocentricity. The transition from God's chosen messenger to a little tin god is a perilous possibility for clergymen exalted by a Messiah complex. And finally, saccharinity. In response to the dictum that a cheerful smile wins friends and influences people, it is tempting to peddle syrup rather than spirituality. In addition to comforting the afflicted, a preacher should also afflict the comfortable.